Hello, hello, lovely people. Welcome. I don't know whether to call this like a ramble, like the Rums Rambles things, or if I should just call this like Rums Reviews, because that kind of sounds fun. But yeah, I'm going to talk about Dune. I guess I could talk about my hand first, because some of you guys were asking me. I'm okay. I just hurt my hand trying to move my stuff. I already got yelled at by my friends, so I'm telling you guys, but you don't have to tell me to be careful or things, because I know. But I was moving something that was far too heavy to probably be moved by myself, and when I was trying to get it through the door, I tripped and smashed my fingers. So yeah, that's what happened. And like I said, when my friends finally helped me move it, they were yelling at me for trying to do it by myself because it was really fucking heavy. So yeah, that hurt a shit ton. Mainly my middle finger on my left hand, and then my index finger a little too. There's like a couple fractures. The part that I think hurts the most though is the nail on my middle finger. Okay, I won't talk too much detail because maybe some people will be grossed by that. But like it broke pretty substantially, like almost all the way across. It's still attached right now though, but it hurts like a fucking bitch still. If I ever bump it on things, it just sends like shooting pain down my finger. So yeah, that's what happened. Makes it very difficult to use the keyboard. It's on my left hand. I don't know if I said that. So I can still. It's not my dominant hand, thankfully. But, yeah, trying to type things or do, like, keyboard shortcuts for my editing, I found, also has kind of been a pain in the ass because I keep hitting the wrong buttons. So, yeah, that's that. But, I don't know. They said it probably won't take that long to heal, so it's okay. Anyways, on to the real stuff. Dune Part 2. And I figured I would just break up my thoughts into like spoiler free for the first bit, and then maybe I'll talk a little bit more detail with spoilers on the second half. So I'll warn you guys. So anyone who doesn't want to be spoiled, you can just finish or you know, you can click out at that point. But yeah, I personally really, really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was, like, visually, it was just stunning, I think. Like, so many of the shots are just awe-inspiring and super cool. There's some sequences, like some stuff on one of the other planets of the Harkonnens that I thought was really cool, the way that they decided to shoot it. And, like, the music is still really cool. I think that this is definitely a movie that if you're interested in watching it, I think it's one of those movies where it's made better by watching it at the theaters, because like you can feel the vibrations and stuff, you know. And gosh, there are some moments that were like just so intense. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. Some of you guys asked me, and I have read the book. I've read it twice, and then I've read the second book as well, but I haven't read the others past that. But those were the ones that I believe the director was looking to make into like a trilogy anyway. So for having that perspective, I don't know if that makes it better or worse for like to watch, because like I knew it. I had a deeper understanding of what was going on at a lot of points. But then there was a lot more changes made to like the plot and stuff in this one than there was in the first one. At least I from my perspective, things that I noticed. I feel like most people would agree with me, but maybe I'm forgetting something. It's been a while since I've read the books. But yeah, so they definitely changed quite a bit. But I don't know. I'm not the kind of person who ever really gets mad about that, unless it's like something dumb. As long as you're like being faithful to the feel of the original work, I think that adaptions have to make some changes. Especially like, because Dune, for people who haven't read it, like the books, they're very like interior focused on the characters. Like, so there's a lot of parts where we're just inside different characters' heads. And so like you literally couldn't adapt it as it's written. You're going to have to make changes, you know, to some things. And sure, I've read some like discussion about it online now, because it's been a couple days since I've seen it, see what other people think. I've talked to some friends, and like some of the changes were pretty like massive changes. I don't know, not anything crazy, but like pretty significant. But I think they all help to further, you know, the story and make it work as like a film. So yeah, overall, I thought that they handled, you know, the material really well. And I also thought that like all the performances from the actors were really amazing, especially like Timothée Chalamet as Paul. I thought in part one, like his character is kind of like not doing much for a lot of it. So I wasn't sure how I felt about him as Paul Atreides. But especially in this one, towards the end, there's some sequences where he's like, you know, talking about different stuff and giving some sort of speeches or whatever. There was one of those scenes specifically towards the end where I was watching it and I was like, okay, damn, he's got it. Whatever doubts that I had about him playing that role were gone at that moment for sure. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Let's see. I know apparently some of the complaints people had of the first one was that it was just kind of boring. So there's a lot more action in this one as well. And I think a lot of those action sequences are really cool. Like, they take the sci-fi elements and use them in such interesting ways to, you know, create tension in the fight scenes themselves that I think are really fun. So, yeah. One of you guys asked me if you need to read the book first before watching it. I don't know. I don't think you have to. Like, you can definitely still enjoy the movie without it. Maybe if you're the kind of person who prefers watching a movie knowing all the, you know, the stuff from the book, maybe you could take the time to read it first. But I think either way, I think even if you watched the movie first and then read the book would still be interesting because there are so many elements that are a little bit different in this back half. And also you get to peer inside the characters' minds directly. So I think it would still be interesting even if you already have watched it. So either way, I think would be fun. I mean, that's coming from someone who really, really likes Dune. So maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea, obviously. But yeah, either way, I think you'd be fine. There was some moments where certain scenes were playing out in like different ways. And then I was thinking back to how they were in the book. And I was like, ah, they did this because in this chapter of the book, this character is the POV character. So that's why we're getting this particular shot from their point of view. And like things like that, which I think are really cool and shows that they were actually, you know, paying attention to the material. But okay, I think that's all I can really say without getting into spoilers. And I don't know how long I'll talk in the spoilery section anyway. But if you don't want to get spoiled, now is your time to click away, because now I'm going to talk about things. So yeah, hello everyone who has either seen the movie or doesn't care about spoilers. yeah, gosh, it was so freaking cool though. Okay, one of my favorite scenes was the part where Paul is learning to ride the sandworms for the first time. That sequence, that whole thing, where he's having to like run on the top of sand dune and then he's like sliding down onto the worm. I was like holding my breath, especially with the music and everything. I just thought that was such an intense scene. And I love the way it was shot, where we were like right there, like we were the ones falling down the sand too. Made it feel like really intense to me, at least. The scene on Gedi Prime with the Harkonnens, where there's like that Colosseum stuff. I just loved the aesthetic of all of that. Like it being in black and white was such an interesting, visually it was just so cool looking. And I think I remember I read something where the director was saying he wanted a way to differentiate it, because, you know, otherwise they would just be like walking around in sand like they are on Arrakis. So this way, that was their way of making it look, you know, distinct. And I just thought it looked super cool. Also, that whole like fight sequence was just awesome. And the little weird dudes like on the edge that were like the creepy little creatures, I don't know what those were, but that was cool and kind of unnerving. Let's see what else. Okay, I guess as in terms of like changes they made to the book, there's like a time jump in this section in the book. So Paul's sister, Alia, I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced. She's like alive at this point. I don't know how old she is. She's only like maybe 4 or 5 or something like that. She's still a kid, but she can like, she's still, her mind was still like awakened. I liked how they showed that, because I wasn't sure how they were going to handle her, because that's kind of a weird thing, like to have, you know, this child who was basically a fully conscious adult in the womb. It's a weird thing. So I actually think it worked better having her just talk, you know, to it in her stomach from like a movie point of view. I don't know. Maybe they could have done it and it would have worked. You know, maybe you saw them side by side. Maybe I would change my mind. But I think it was definitely easier, because then you didn't have to have like, you know, the kid that can talk like an adult, because that, I don't know, it might be hard to do from like a practicality effects, you know, standpoint. But yeah, so that was like one of the bigger changes. And then I think the biggest change that stood out to me was the changes made to Chani, because they gave her a lot more like agency and characterization. Because from what I remember in the books, she's an important character, but she's really not a character. She's just kind of there, and she just kind of falls in love with him, and then that's sort of it. Like, I don't really think there was a lot of depth to her character. Maybe it's been too long since I've read it. Maybe other Dune readers will be mad at me for saying that. But I don't know. I felt like the changes that they made was kind of an interesting way to put some conflict internally with the Fremen, where they weren't all just like, you know, going along with Paul giving into like the, you know, the prophecy stuff. So I thought it worked. I am a little confused on how they're going to move forward with it. If they do like the third movie adapting the second book, because at the end of that one, of part two, I mean, of the movie number two, like, I don't know, it seemed very tense, and I didn't get the exact feeling, like if I hadn't read the books, that they were still going to be together. But that's definitely the case later, and that's a very important, like, you know, sort of plot points around all of that. So I don't know. I guess maybe there's like a time jump between the books. So I guess if you just do that, and then maybe there's still some tension, but most of it's gone. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they approach that. I would be surprised if they didn't have at least some plan of what they were going to do with that book. So I don't know. We'll see. What else? Oh, I liked. So here's another thing for people who haven't read the books. Florence Pugh's character, Princess Irulan, she in the books, like every chapter has, I don't know what that's called, like a little snippet before the actual chapter starts. And I think all of them, or most of them, are written by her character, like from various journal, like in-world journal entries that she's writing about different things, about events and stuff. So I liked that they were able to put that in here. Like we had some shots where she was documenting her thoughts in that same style. And then I also think it worked pretty well getting like some point of views from her character. Because otherwise, like if you were to just stick with how she is in the book, we literally would not interact with her or meet her until that final sequence when the Emperor and all of them come to the planet. So I thought that worked pretty well to make that final interaction with the Emperor and all of them make a bit more sense to the audience. So that was cool. Another thing that I felt like they changed is the role of Paul's mom, like in adopting the prophecy. Because I don't remember her. It sort of felt like she was almost an antagonist to Paul in that sense, like she was trying to push them towards that path that he didn't want to go down. And from what I remember, I don't think it was as direct. Like I think she was just doing what she felt like they needed to do to survive in the moment, and then those sort of things just kind of wound up happening. But I think that change kind of gives more agency to that whole stuff. So yeah, like I said earlier, I think a lot of the changes they made were pretty smart. Some of them have bigger ramifications for stuff as well. Oh, the one other thing that I like that they did is going back to that fight scene on the Harkonnen planet. There was that Bene Gesserit lady, like Countess Fenring or whatever they called her. So in the book, there's another character who it looks like they removed. His name is Count Fenring. So like her husband, I think they're married, or maybe they're just, I don't know, but yeah, so he's supposed to be there, but then he's also like, he doesn't really do much in the book. He's kind of, his most important thing is that he doesn't do something at the end of the book. He's supposed to like be a backup plan or something like that, and like kill Paul, or I think it's Paul, maybe it's someone else. But then he just doesn't do it at the end, which is like not a very compelling reason to add a character into the movie. So I think it was fine that they cut that particular character. But what they did do is that I thought was interesting is that character in the book has some level of, they didn't really, prescience. They didn't call it that in the movie, I don't think. But like the ability to like see the future sort of thing. And so that sort of shields their plans from Paul, because the people who have that sort of thing can't see each other in the future. Something like that. It's kind of confusing, but I think that's how it works. So he was like another candidate that could have maybe turned into the Kwisatz Haderach, but he didn't, he didn't quite get there. He's like a failed attempt to do that. So what I liked what they did instead with removing his character is they kind of added some of that into Fade Rotha, the guy who was fighting in the Colosseum. And I like how they added the scene of him putting his hand in the box thing. Like that, obviously they didn't show it, but I thought that was really, really good addition. Cause then that sort of further cements, cause he's supposed to be like a foil to Paul, in like a bunch of different ways. So I thought that was a really good addition. I've been talking for a while now. But I think that's pretty much all I have to say. Overall, I just really liked it. As someone who loves the world building in Dune, and I love all that stuff, I just thought it was really cool to get to see it all in theaters, and it like have it live up to sort of what you imagine in your brain when some of the books. So yeah, that's all my thoughts for now. So, yeah, bye-bye.